So I wanted to talk to y'all about a dependent relationship. And I'm gonna admit that this was a challenging subject for me because I haven't always done relationships too well. As a matter of fact, when I came out, it was so much heartbreak. Disappointment that I really messed up on some important relationship I had at that time in my life. You know, I tell people I can't apologize for what I felt, but I can apologize for my actions in the midst of all the emotions. Sometimes our emotions provoke actions that we will never do in a normal situation. And so I believe as a pastor and a preacher that sometimes God allows you to teach what he really trying to teach you. So I want to talk to y'all about authentic relationship. Now, some of you may get a little bit nervous and say, oh, he ain't talking about my ability to open up and share all my sins and all my imperfections. No. That's not at all what I'm going to talk to you about. What I'm talking about today is our ability to provide a transparent environment for anyone that comes into our lives. Our ability to provide a transparent environment for anyone that comes into our lives. I give you an example. When I came out, a friend of mine called me and said, how does it feel to know that you have deceived everyone in your life? You really think about it. That's a good question. He had a valid point, but I had a question too. My question was, how does it feel to know I didn't trust you and our relationship to be real with you? See, it's not just about what they have done. Did we provide an atmosphere for them to be real with us? Did we give them an environment that they can come in with all their imperfections and say, this is who I am? I think we challenge that. I think we have a challenge with that. And here's something I believe. And you might want to take some notes, because it's going to be some aha moments in the conversation. One thing I believe is the world label Christians as hypocrites because of our inability to have transparent relationships. You all right? Yeah. Either you pretend like you're perfect and you do no wrong, You go out into the world and you live totally contradictory to the person you say God has called you to be. Either way, it's not authentic. An authentic relationship is saying, this is who I am. I'm not perfect, but I wake up every day wanting to be better than the person I was before. How many people know that about you? So that way I'm going. Next slide. Why is it important? Why is it? Authentic relationship is so important because one, it defines your character. Two, it determines your success. Put my new three, it exposes your heart. Four, it will fulfill the natural longing we all have. The natural longing God has placed in every heart. We all want to have authentic relationships with people in our life. It is a natural longing. Our relationship is so important that God used them to express His love for us. Next slide. He said, He will be our Father. He is a mother to the mothers. He calls up friends. He calls up His sons and daughters. We are His bride. So God put a lot of emphasis on relationship. So get what? If we don't get this right, for one, it will affect our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. We got to get relationship right. I mean, if you think about it, your whole world is around the relationship that are in and out of your life. And we're not getting it right. We are miserable. And a lot of time, in my notes, I wrote that the relationship we have with these people would affect our relationship with God. But more important, our relationship with God will affect our relationship with the people around us. We got to get it right. Therefore, it's important to get it right. And then I said, in my note, I said, no one is as good at building a transparent relationship than Jesus. And we see that in Ephesians. That is where we are. We go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1-6. And the NIV version that we read with me, it said, you were there in your transgression and sin, in which you firmly walk according to the courts of the world, according to the prince of the power in the air. For the spirit that is now working in the son of disobedience, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, in just the desire of flesh and of mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, but God, rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive to with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And by grace, and raised up with him and seated in heavenly places with him. I'm paraphrasing. But let me read it in the New Message Version, because it's beautiful in the New Message. It said, it wasn't long ago that you were more in your old stagnant life of sin, yet the world, you let the world, which doesn't know a thing about living, tell you how to live. Stop right there. You let the world, which doesn't know a thing about living, tell you how to live. You fear your lungs with pollution and Emily. Hey, baby. and then adopt them in this obedience. We all did this. We all of us doing what we felt like doing. All of us doing what we felt like doing. My face. When we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder that God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin dead life and made us alive in Christ. He did all of that on his own, without help. Then he picked her up and set her down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus the Messiah. Whew. That's a lot to say. But I want to tease it out a little bit. And I'm excited about that. Number one thing I want you to see, and that is God knows who he's dealing with. God knows who he's dealing with. When he came into our life, he wasn't looking for the perfect man. He knew that we had issues. He knew that we were no good sinners. Write it down. No one will come in your life without their own share of sins and faith. We forget that. We allow people to come in our life thinking that they gonna be perfect, that everything gonna be great, and when we see that they're not perfect, we freak out. Oh my God! He took a drink. Oh my God! He said a bad word. Whoa! What going on? No one will come into your life without their own sin of sins and faith. Let be real, people. I think so many times we go into a relationship unprepared for the reality. But the Bible tells us we all have fallen short. Each one of us is a sinner that can only be saved by grace. And no one is righteous. We need to come to that reality when we go into relationship. And when I talk about relationship, let me clear up something. I don't mean the intimate relationship. I mean relationship with your friends, with your mother and father. They're all gonna fail you at some point in your life. And get what? You're gonna fail them too. You're gonna make your mistake too. And it depends on how transparent that relationship is. It's gonna depend on what the outcome of that faith. That wasn't in my notes. But let's talk about how Jesus form a relationship with the woman at the well. He was sitting at the well, and a woman woke up, and she getting water out of the well. And Jesus said, give me a drink of water. And so they start communicating, forming a relationship. And Jesus looked at her and says, if you want water that will never run dry, if you want water that will never let you thirst again, I got that. A relationship with my God. And she took the bait. And she like, okay, I like that. Give me that water. That my type of water. And Jesus said, go get your husband. And she responded and said, I have no husband. And then when the conversation get real quick, because Jesus said, "You do what to sin that you have no harm." A matter of fact, you have five of them. And the one I'm talking about is not one of the five. Oops. That conversation got real quick. Why? Because he rich in mercy. No other reason that relationship continued other than the fact that God was rich in mercy. We must have mercy for people's past. We must have mercy for people's past. Mercy is the decision to response and compassion. Mercy is the decision to respond and compassion. I believe that our past, if we really look at it, could kill us internally. When the Bible says that you are dead in your transgressions, I believe that the Bible is saying your sin has sucked the life out of you. To a point where you don't even want to wake up anymore. I believe the woman at the well, she was there. She was at that point where she didn't want to even look at another person. And Jesus' response to her would make all the difference at that moment. How we respond to people failures makes a difference in their life. Depending on how we respond to people's past, we can either crush their spirit or give them hope. One of my favorite pastors, one of them, and that one it did, so I get that make you my favorite one now. I've been waiting to tell that joke. One of my favorite podcasts back in the day was Evie Hill. And Evie Hill was preaching his wife's funeral. And in the funeral, he said that when they were early on in the ministry, they were dirt poor in Watts, California. So poor that they could not pay the electric bill and the lights went out. But when he came home, candles were lit up all over the house. And his wife had the big romantic dinner form. And he kind of figured out what was going on. And he was like, baby. And that was, he called his wife. He's like, baby, did the lights get turned off today? And she was like, yeah. But I wanted to give you one more day of peace. And he said, now, my wife could have crushed me that day. She could have told me, oh, I was with another man, that the lights wouldn't get turned off. She could have said, oh, we didn't make some of the bad investments that you made. The lights will not be turned off. But she decided to light a candle and give me mercy. That is what we need to prepare to do when people come into our life. Now, I do want to clear up something. I'm not talking about missionary things. I'm not talking about if you know someone is not where you need to be to continue to date them. I'm talking about the people that are in your life. That you, your mother, your father, your partner, yourself, that you found out that they're not perfect. And give them a little mercy. Give them time to become who God wants them to be. Moving on. Jesus knew the person we would go into. He visualized us in the future, sitting beside God, at the same time knowing that we were no good sinners. Think about that. Jesus visualized us sitting on the throne next to God, while at the same time knowing that we were sinners. That baffled me. An authentic relationship is not so much about who the person is as it is about who the person is becoming. Put your spiritual needs on. Get a sense of who that person is becoming and ask yourself, how did that person fit in your life 5 and 10 years down the road? Now, some of you have an issue with this because it doesn't allow you to constantly tell a person how bad they are. You know, it's our nature to want to constantly remind that person of their past. Remind that person of what he did, or why he did. And here's what you don't understand. There is a difference between guilt and conviction. There is a difference between guilting someone and letting them be convicted by God. Let's get into it. Many times we get people into becoming the people that we want them to become. Guilt will only last for a moment. Real change happens when that person is convicted. Red James will only happen when that person had come visit, you may be able to make someone do something different by gifting them, but not until they are convicted by God that they will change. Think about that. That will free you up on something, because I think a lot of times we still try to make people feel convicted. We want them to be what we think they should be. But in a grandparent relationship, you allow the Holy Spirit to convict that person. I love this. It freed me up. People can change their minds and hearts instantly, but growth doesn't happen overnight. People can change their mind and heart instantly, but growth, for the person to become who they decided to be, it happened gradually. We gotta give that person time to become who they know they can become. People need time to hear from God on an issue. I'm wrong somewhere. Perhaps we are not hearing what we want to hear from that person because they haven't had time to get along with God. They haven't had time for God to deal with them. They're trying to get over you dealing with them. Give them time to become who God called them to be. It doesn't happen overnight. You didn't wake up where you are. It took some time. And we want to be honest, each one of us got a long way to go. Get that person the same patience that you would require of them. By the way, I love it. By the way, for something to be classified as real and genuine, help me say that word, genuine, it had to go through the refiner's fire. For something to be classified as genuine and real, it got to go through the refiner's fire. The last thing you want to do is get that person around that fire and into your life. Give them time to go through the refiner's fire. I love my brother. My brother is awesome. But the truth of it is, over time, he has said and done some things that until he is convicted by the Holy Spirit, he cannot influence my life. That's not because I don't want him. That's not because I don't want him in my life. It's because I need him to spend some time with God before he come back into my life fully again. The last thing I want is, I love this. God took the time to embrace us, allowing people to grow, on God's time, and allowing us to embrace the moment. Embracing the moment is taking the time to empathize with that person's defeats and failures. This is the time where you can, I'm gonna take my time on that. This is the time that you can make some critical decisions in the relationship. You can decide at that time whether to put up red flags or a spiritual bitch mark. So when you are allowing God to deal with that person, and you are in a relationship with that person, that's the time that you can put up some red flags or some spiritual benchmarks. Give you an example. I'm getting to know a new friend. Great guy, we're getting to know each other. We decided to go out to dinner. So we're at dinner. I'm looking good and cute. I can't help it. But everything is going great. But then I feel it coming on. The bitch sneezes. Now when I sneeze, first of all, I want the foundation of every building I'm in. And everybody in the building knows that Christopher Coleman has sneezed. And my limbs go everywhere. This particular night, my knee go up and I hit the table. The wine up, come down and shadow all over the table, all over my friend. Well, the good news is, I didn't get red. It was all over him. I was looking cute that night, so I didn't want to get red. But that was a moment of truth for us. Because what he didn't know is I was watching to see how would he deal with my imperfections. How would he deal with my imperfections? The people in your life, how you gonna deal with people that are not perfect? How you gonna deal with the people in your life show you their true color? Because I said, I knew the time would come that I would sneak out over him and wait for all over him. It was no surprise to me. It was a complete surprise to him. But you know what we did? We laughed like we never laughed before. I mean, Everybody probably thought, what is going on with them two? First of all, they are safe. They are perceived to be a white man. Tall and strong. With the guy in a wheelchair, black guy in a wheelchair, that made a mess all over the restaurant. And I was laughing like they are crazy. What is going on? And he embraced me at that moment. He accepted my imperfection. And he emphasized with who I was as an individual. The reason why I think God wanted me to give this message, because some of you are dealing with really diving into a relationship with God. You're thinking, how is he going to deal with my imperfection? Do I really want God to see me and all my messed-up life? I don't know why you're thinking you can hide it from me anyway, but some of us really believe that we don't want to get too involved in a relationship with Christ because we're not perfect. And I want you to know that God never asked you to be perfect. He asked you to trust him. He said, I will have grace for your past. I will invite you right where you are. And I've already set up life for you to become the person that I call you to be. You don't have to run from being in a real relationship with him, because he wants to be authentic with you. He wants you as you are. Amen? Amen. So then Sunday, I just want to challenge y'all to open up the idea of authentic relationship with the people that come in your life, with the people in your life, and with God. He want one. He won't. And I will tell you that in that final moment, there have been people that I've been out with, and that have happened, and they walk right out the door because they're too embarrassed by it. They act like everything okay and excellent, the night ain't over. They brought me. That's not God. God will always be right there in the middle of it with you.
Thank you, Christopher. You always get a deep word from this man, don't you? Christopher has a ministry that he has been called to, a nonprofit that he's created. And I want to encourage each of you to write down ChristopherColeman.net. Net, like Fishers of Men, net. ChristopherColeman.net. To look at the ministry that Christopher has, Unconfined Life Institute. What Christopher does is goes and gives his testimony and messages like this and encourages people, both in the secular environment from things like diversity and inclusion training at businesses, but also at nonprofit organizations, at the Boy Scouts of America, at youth rallies, things like that. He preaches at churches. He is a bridge builder. Let's just pray and close out today. Father God, we thank you for the word that you brought this morning. I pray that we would continue to chew on this and that it would continue to bless our hearts and deepen our relationships with others throughout this week and throughout the rest of our lives. I pray, Father, for authentic compassion for people and grace for wherever they are, not just for their past, but for their present, Lord. We ask all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.